Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the d'Amico International Shipping second quarter and first half 2017 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Marco Fiori, CEO of d'Amico International Shipping. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our quarterly conference. We are here today to comment the numbers for the first half of 2017. If you can go on the executive summary on page four, the first part, I'm sure you're all familiar. The capital raising was very successful, was done in the second quarter of the year. That brought 35 million euros, $37.9 million, and we used the money to strengthen our balance sheet and liquidity position. Coming to the net results of the semester, we had a loss of $6.2 million in half one 2017, and this was mainly due to a challenging market, especially in Q2 of this year. The EBITDA, we're kind of happy about this number, was maintained to a very decent level, and thanks also to some cost-cutting efforts, we have achieved an EBITDA of 24.7 million in half one of 2017, which is just above 19% margin, and this has been obtained in a very weak market. Vessel disposal and leasebacks, we have at the beginning of the year sold two MR vessels and chartered them back. One additional MR was sold and bareboated back in the Q2, and all of this has generated a net gain on disposal of 2.6 million, and especially had a very positive cash effect of 16.4 million. On this note, we are still negotiating three more ships to be sold, MRs, and if we go ahead with this, the numbers we're discussing now should generate another 15 million of cash. Between Q1 and Q2, we should be generating, if this sale goes through, we should be generating in excess of 31 million of cash. This probably will happen in Q3, probably September, October, the sale of these three ships. Spot TC, the daily spot rate was $12,492 in half one, and compared with $16,000 in half one 2016, so that gives you an idea of the magnitude of the market we're facing, and $11,763 in Q2 2017 versus $15,560. Coverage TC, this has always been one of our strong points, has been going down to 36.9 at an average rate of $15,530, which gives us a good level of blended average, which we're talking $13,614, and then we can talk about the coverage wise at these levels and what we're going to do about it. Page five, we have added a couple of lines. You can see how our fleet has been evolving. We give you the number of ships that are owned, bareboat charter, time charter in long term, and time charter in short term. The total of the fleet is 55.5 ships. They're all very modern. Our new building program is coming to an end, and that I think that Federico, who's assisting me in this conference call, will help us in the sense that we'll be seeing a much lower level of CapEx moving forward from the last delivery of the ships, much lower, almost down to zero. Strategy to maintain a top quality, TC coverage book, all top customers, this has been continuing. Market overview, page seven. I think this a little bit explains the results that we had. As you can see on the left side, you can see the one-year TC and spot rates, how they've been evolving, and they're really at the lowest level since the last cycle peak. That's why I'm still confident, and this is shared by many analysts of the sector, that there's going to be a strong recovery in the next future. At the same time, also asset values, they're very correlated, have been going down for the five years and the new buildings of secondhand. Looking at the market on the demand side, This slide was also here in present presentations. It's continuing this growth at an average compounded rate of 4.1%. And as I always like to stress, is how in this component of oil being transported, the products have been evolving in the last 17 years from 25% to 35%. So there's been a big compounding, big block of traded products that has been moving up. Page 9, refining throughput. You can see that the monthly average has been kind of stable and has been closing the gap of the refining average margin. So refining margin went a little bit up, but it's still at levels where you don't see a lot of products being refined. There's a lot of it being refined, but not as top capacity because the refining margin is not there. At the same time, product stocks have been going down, except the blip that you had in May 17 that we believe is a temporary blip, and then should be continuing this trend of losing storage capacity. We should be seeing lower storage capacity. The growth in refinery capacity, also this is something we will normally talk about. Not much change there. We can see that Europe is going down, and mainly the big parts in the world where it is developing is Asia, and mainly is China and Middle East. These are the three places where there is going to be big increase in capacity. And strangely enough, you can see that non-others, older, the part of others in Africa, where we transport a lot of products, refined products, it is still a very small change. So the refinery is still continuing to grow in places far away from where the products are consumed. On page 11, you can see here about the margins where the refineries are very active. You can see mainly that in the U.S. and in Asia, refineries can obtain higher margins than the European, or more modern refineries, and therefore the trend in moving down to these refineries will be continuing. Another indicator of how Europe, which is still one of the major consumers of refined products, you can see it on the right on page 11, with the evolution of the refining capacity in Europe. And you can see that slowly it's going down dramatically in something like 10 years, went from 15 to 14%. So like, refining capacity has been really diminishing in Europe because 1% is a big number considering the amount of products that are refined also in Europe. Now, we come to the most important part of why we feel comfortable in the market going forward. Fleet growth, as you can see, is going down. The net in 2019 should be growth of 1.2% and 2.3% in 2018. At the same time, every year that goes by, the fleet is getting older. And there you can see that the annual fleet, the percentage that's getting over 20 years and 15 years. And so you can see that the actual order book of 6.6% is just half of NMRs that are getting 15 years old of age. And it is more or less in line with those that are over 20 years. So for those that are over 20 years and over 15 years, normally these ships will not be competing with major oil traders and oil companies, which is our current historical market. So we can see really a big decrease in number of ships that are coming in the market. This is also confirmed if you look at page 13, following the statistics that we have. The actual deliveries of the year until June, you can see there is a big portion of what is being delivered has already been before in Q2, in the Q2 and Q1 of this year. And the estimated deliveries are much lower. Another thing that's also interesting to look is that in Q1 and Q2, the actual amount of ships should have been delivered and the slippage, i.e. ships that have not been delivered or will be delivered later. So the two numbers are not matching. This what will mean that also in Q3 and Q4, there's going to be less ships delivered than those that you see on this chart. So this is another good point holding for us. MR and Handy orders at 10-year low. You can see in 16 and 17, the number of handies that have been ordered is really low. In 16 were always only 12, and in 17, 25, which is a ridiculous number if you compare to the 225 of 13, 100 or so 15, and also the 72 of 2014. So today we're standing on one of the slowest order books that you have for a long, long, long time. On the left, why this is happening, because you can see a new building parity curve in which you take, you can see the results of an MR, a new build, and a second-hand MR. You can see there is a big delta between the price of a modern MR being new building and being depreciated over 25 years, and the same exact ship after 5, 10, and 15 years. You can see that you can buy these ships for prices that are much lower than a new building being amortized at that level. So we believe that there's going to be less ordering and concentrating more in the part of the second hand between zero, either ships on order or ships to be the, having 10 years of age. This is the range that we feel is going to be very, very important. Seaborne volume, NMR fleet growth, and TC, you can see the data here are pretty correlated. In this moment, you can see that the growth, it is going down dramatically, and at the same time, it's going down also the one-year TC rate. Seems a little bit controversial of this, but I think that there should be a pickup in the one-year MR rate shown in the future, especially due to the fact that the fleet growth is kind of very decreasing kind of rapidly. How this is positioned for the financial recovery? I have here with me Federico Rosen, who is the controller of the group and is in substitution of Carlos Palestra, the CFO, that couldn't attend. So, Federico, if you want to talk about the financial results.
Yes, good afternoon to everyone. So, if we start with page 17, this shows you the current CapEx and financing situation as at the end of June. So, going forward to the second half of 2017 and 2018, we have a remaining CapEx of 190.2 million. And this relates to our six LR1s that are due to be delivered in the next 18 months. CapEx for the second half of 2017 are going to be 68.4 million, of which 37.1 million would be provided by bank debt. And going to the following year, we're going to have 121.8 million in total gross capex, of which again 98.5 million are going to be financed with bank debt. So 71% of the remaining capex as of June 30 are going to be financed with bank debt. If we move to the next slide, page 18. This is a new slide that we decided to add to our presentation, and this gives you, we believe, a little bit of a situation of our debt evolution, of our gross debt evolution. The graph on the left shows you the debt financing cash flow, and this is all based on the situation as it is right now without assuming sale of assets or anything like that. So as you can see, we're going to have 3.3 million positive net financing cash flow coming in H2 17. We're going to have another positive flow between drawdowns and bank repayments in 2018 for 31.6 million. And then we're going to have a negative impact in 2019 for 73.3 million. And if you look on the right, this is the stock of outstanding debt and its estimated evolution from, again, starting from H1 17, so the actual numbers that we have right now, and going to 2019. This graph shows you both the gross debt and its normal standard evolution based on the situation that we have right now. And it shows you the delta between the current fleet market value and this gross debt. Here we are assuming in terms of fleet market value standard depreciation of the vessels by approximately 4% of lower values year on year. In reality, should the market be better than this, better than what we have right now, we would have much better gross debt on fleet market value ratio. And even as it is right now, with this sort of conservative assumption, you can see that the ratio between gross debt and fleet market value is going to go from 71% that we have right now to 68% that we're going to have at the end of 2017, down to 66% in the next year and 60% in 2019. Obviously, our gross debt is going to peak in 2018, at the end of 2018, when our new building plan is due for completion with the last LR1s to be delivered. If we move to the following page, page 19, this is our TC coverage evolution, and this is based again on the contracts that we have right now. As Marco was mentioning before, we have a very low coverage at the moment historically compared to what our normal policy has always been. We have 27% coverage at an average ratio of 15,687 for H2 2017. Then the average rate is going to go up to 16,138 next year, but just for 18% the coverage, and then down to 6% at around $15,100 a day. This means that as of today, we have already secured through this TC coverage $42 million in TC earnings, so in net revenues for H2 2017, $52 million already for 2018, and already $16 million for 2019. In addition to this, having this good level of coverage gives you also a boost in terms of operating cash flow, because TC hires are paid monthly in advance, so they play a very positive effect in terms of working capital generation. If you move to the following page, which is in a way very much linked to the previous page that we discussed, you have on your left a graph showing the estimated fleet evolution in terms of available days of our fleet, split between owned vessels, TC-in vessels, and bareboat vessels. The bareboat vessel that you see there is the High Fidelity that we recently sold and leased back in Q2 2017. On the right, you see the estimated spot exposure that we have in terms of average number of vessels. And this basically means that for every $1,000 a day of higher or lower spot result, we're going to have a $7.3 million impact on both our net result and our net cash flow in H2 2017. A $15.3 million in 2018 and a $14.8 million in 2019. So this goes back a little bit to what Marco was saying before. So, having a low level of coverage right now and being extremely bullish for the years to come for the product tanker market means also that we're in a very good position. We're very sensitive to the spot market, and we could generate really good results going forward should the spot market follow our expectation. If you go to page 21, this is our net financial position. So net financial position of 500.5 million compared to 528.2 million at the end of March prior to our share capital increase, and compared to approximately 528 million at the end of last year. As at the end of June, we had cash and cash equivalent for almost 41 million. We had 35.8 million total investment in H1 2017 in relation to our new building plan. In addition to this, if you look at the total of our acquisition of fixed assets in our cash flow statement, we had also additional 27 million of acquisition of a financial lease asset, which is the High Fidelity that I mentioned before. Going to the sale of assets that we made during the period that Marco mentioned before, we sold two MR vessels in Q1, generating 5.2 million net cash effect, so after debt repayment. In Q2 17, as we said before, we sold and leased back another MR vessel, the iFidelity, and we generated a further 11.2 million net cash effect, again, after debt repayment. The sales of these three vessels generated also 2.6 million profit on disposal in the period. As Marco said before, we're also planning and we are also in advanced negotiations on the sale of three further vessels which should generate a net cash effect in excess of 15 million approximately in Q3, we believe. And so we're going on with our sale plan also. If you move to the next page, here you have a summary of our income statement for H1 2017. We made TC earnings of 128.7 million, a result on disposal of vessels that I mentioned before of 2.6 million, and this gives us an EBITDA of 24.7 million. We are particularly satisfied also about the 19.2% margin on EBITDA margin on TC earnings that we managed to achieve. Obviously, we cannot control where the market goes, and unfortunately, the market wasn't very positive in Q2 2017, especially. But we managed to control our cost. If you look at our daily break-even in H1 2017 relative to the same period of last year, this was almost $540 a day lower than the same period of last year. We managed to cut costs on OPEX, OPEX on own vessels. We managed to reduce our break-even also on the chartering fleet that we have. We have lower G&A by approximately $900,000 relative to H1 2016. Net result, unfortunately, for everything that was said before, we made a loss of 6.2 million in H1 2017, of which 8 million loss are coming from Q2 17. Going to the following slide 23, these are our main KPIs. So we manage on average, we operated on average 53.7 vessels in H1 17. Almost 37% of these vessel days were covered with time charter contracts. We made a spot of 12,492 in the semester, of which $11,763 a day were generated in Q2 17. Going to the coverage, we had a coverage of 15,530 in H1 17, and we achieved in total a blended daily TC earnings, so the sum of the spot exposure and the TC coverage, of $13,600 a day, compared obviously to $16,389 a day that we achieved in H1 2016 under a very different market scenario. Page 24, this is another new slide that we decided to include in our presentation. The first bar of the graph that you see shows you the average based on Clarkson and the NMR clean earnings indexes. The second bar is our spot result, our daily spot result in H1. And the third bar is our blended TC, so spot plus TC. So there are 2 points here. First of all, we made a spot performance which is 32% higher on a daily basis than the Clarkson average, than the Clarkson daily average. Second point, thanks to our TC coverage, and this goes back a little bit to the strategy that we managed to pull forward in the previous years. We managed to achieve a total TC of $13,600 a day, which is 43% higher than the current market, than the current spot market. Last slide of the financial part of the presentation. This is again our historical NAV evolution. We're still trading at 21% discount compared to NAV. At the end of June, we had a total NAV of $240 million positive, a fleet market value of $740.5 million in total. Marco, if you want to...
Thank you, Federico. And so now, at the end of this, I think you've been here too many times. Everybody has been following you, but let's go through it very quickly. Why should we invest in Damica International Shipping today? Young fleet, attractive prices, and a top-tier yard. Attractive prices, I can tell you that today the price of new buildings is not very far from where we have been ordering our latest new buildings. So also in this... in this moment, in this phase, the negative phase of the market, prices of new buildings have been holding quite well. Actually, I can say that some of the yards where we've been building ships, such as Hyundai Vinashin, the one in Vietnam of Hyundai, they are kind of booked until 2020. So that means that there is positive sentiment. And second thing, it means that there is not a huge room for seeing large fleets being built from now until 2020, which plays a little bit in the hands of where we see a market, a strong market moving forward. First in-house technical management, we are better than the larger companies, so we have first-in-class technical management. Invested only in MR1, MR2, and recently in LRs, which are the larger ships, the 75,000, the Panamaxes, which is a natural segment to fall in because most of our customers in the MR1 and MR2 are also operating in the last segment. So we're trying to be a shop for everybody, for all our customers to be there as a one-stop shop. Prudent commercial strategy, 40 and 60% coverage. That's been going down, as Federico has said. We are now in a lower than what is our bottom benchmark of these numbers, but it's very clear why we don't want to lock in at these rates, and we believe that the market will be improving. So first of all, we're not locking in low rates, and second of all, we have a modern, efficient fleet as ready to be chartered out at very competitive prices, a very strong prices. The market is here for a recovery that we expect to happen. International reach, all our offices in the main areas of shipping, of tankers. We have offices in Singapore, in London, in New York. I think these are the main shipping areas of the world, and we have very well staffed with very competent people in all of these offices. Banking relationship, that's a plus. We have very strong banking relationship. I think that the group of banks have been supporting us, have been always putting a lot of confidence in us. And on the other hand, we have always compensated them with the fact that we never had any major problems. We were always there, always ready to talk. And also in this kind of negative market, there were no major defaults or breakage of clauses or everything. So we've been a company that constantly has been delivering peace of mind to its bankers and also paying on time and being always there for them. So and we get reward on the other hand by them being here for us. NAV discount of 20%, nothing great. Some other companies are trading at par or probably par plus. There is some room to improve, but on the other hand, the 21% is probably, we've always been suffering a little bit of a discount of NAV, but I think this is one of our areas where there is some room for improvement, but anyhow, there's been periods which were much lower than that. Market fundamentals. Expecting things to improve, but we are there waiting. You know, it's very difficult when you go through these difficult markets to hit exactly the moment of a turnaround. But we must say that we're there, we're confident, a lot of people in the market is confident, and we believe that in the next future there should be a turnaround bringing us to more healthy rates and helping our P&L. Anyhow, thank you very much for being here. I wish everybody, if you have a break, some very relaxing and peaceful break. And if there is any questions, we're more than happy to answer them.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Luigi De Bellis with Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. Three questions for me. The first one on the usual current trading. Could you give us some indication about the trend of spot rates in July? What do you expect for Q3 and all 2017 for spot rates? Second question on supply. Can you comment on whether or not you have seen an increase or changes in ordering environment? Also because, if I remember correctly, the supply growth in your chart for 2018 moved from 1.2% to 2.8%. Just to understand if it's changing something on this. And the last question, could you explain the difference between the time charter long-term and short-term in terms of rates, duration, and eventual purchase obligation? Thank you.
On number one, the current trading environment, Luigi, I think we can start seeing in July summer market, nothing to write home, I think would be in line a little bit with June. I think if we start seeing something, would be more towards the end of August, beginning of September. That should be the turnaround, but a point where we'll see more happy days. For 17, I think that the second part of the year will be a little bit more positive, especially Q4 and part of Q3. So that should lift a little bit the expectation we have today. Then to give you an exact number is going to be difficult, but I wouldn't be surprised if we could go back to an average for the year of 14.5 for the whole year on MRs. Supply, you're right, there's been some orders, nothing major, went to 2.8%, but as you said, actually as I said before, some of the yards now, they're full until 2020. There's been an ordering of other type of ships, there's been a pickup of reordering from bulk cargo ships, there's been some ordering of some container ships. So at the end of the day, the few yards that can build also product tankers are getting full also for other orders and some product tankers. But the latest numbers, the 2.8, is still a very encouraging number, as you can see. Also, people are starting to reorder, it can only be a few ships here and a few ships there. There's not large room to build a large fleet at this point with the yachts in the next couple of years. On the TCs, I think Federico can give you a little bit more of indications there.
On the TC inside, we decided to report our fleet list. Even if you go to the last page of our presentation, you have the complete fleet list vessel by vessel in a slightly different way. Splitting between short-term and long-terms gives you also a little bit the flexibility that we have and that we prove to have in terms of the TC hire cost that we have. We have a large part of our TC in fleet is short-term, and by this we mean everything that is expiring in the next 12 months. So no matter where the market goes, and even if the market doesn't go into the direction that we would like it to go, we have a flexible structure. We're able to redeliver most of these vessels in a matter of 12 months. Talking about H1, for example, we extended three of these contracts, three of these vessels that were expiring in the semester at a reduced rate. We took a further vessel in time charter in, again at a level which is below our TC in average. Plus, we had two vessels coming in. One is this Crimson Jade, that is a new building vessel built in Japan, on which we have also purchase option. And that's a long-term commitment. So I don't know, Luigi, if that answers your question. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so thank you very much. Thank you for your participation. You're always numerous, and for that, thank you from all over the parts of the world. I wish you a fantastic summer. What we will try and be scratching our heads to get some better results for Q3 17, And as I told you, we are still very much convinced about the recovery. It's just a matter of what happened in Q3, Q4, but it's not very far away. And all the numbers, especially the growth of the fleet, seem to point to an impending recovery that they are waiting for us in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk at the next conference call in November. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye to everybody.